Hi, everyone. This is Steve Healy. We have a little special bonus for you today. Dave and I were in Great Debate Studios, and in between some of our debates, we found some common ground. Audiobooks. If you guys love podcasts, there's a good chance you love audiobooks as well. So here we have we just recorded a little discussion of some of our favorite audiobooks. We're both passionate about them. I hope you enjoy it. I do want to say as well to remind you guys, the Great Debates live event is coming up live at the Comedy Central Theater, Thursday, May 28th at 8 p.m. It's RSVP only. The only way to get a ticket is to email greatdebates69@gmail.com. Tickets are free, but you got to get word in fast. They're going quick. So do email us. Tell us how many people you're bringing. And we'll see you at the Comedy Central Theater. And I hope you enjoyed this bonus mini-ep of Great Debates.
All right, welcome back, debate fans. We have something totally unrehearsed. Well, everything's unrehearsed, but this is just an unusual little thing we thought we'd share with you. Healy, what are we doing?
Well, okay, we were just sitting here idly. We finished some debates. We're spent. Blood's on the floor. And we were thinking, you know, a lot of people that listen to Great Debates, they probably like audiobooks. You listen to a ton of audiobooks.
Yeah, well,
let's recommend a couple.
Well, yeah. I actually think we should. This is more of a discussion than a recommendation.
Yeah, period.
Is that okay?
Just a discussion.
Okay.
Sesh.
What's the last audiobook you've listened to?
I listened to War for Late Night. By Bill Carter. I think recommended to me by you.
Well, I read that book. I thought it was pretty engaging.
Yeah, it was cool. There was one story that really stuck out of my craw from that book, and I forget what it was now. It's slipping away from me.
Great.
I was hoping you were going to help me remember what it was.
How would I remember the
What's
one
What's the most
story?
Memorable thing from that book?
Well, to me, it's Conan saying, then blow it up. Is that the one where he's like, basically Conan is saying, like, they've prepared a statement to send out to everyone. And I think it's Jeff Ross and whoever Conan's people are like, you realize if we send this out, there's no going back. We're really blowing it up and you probably won't have the Tonight Show anymore. And
I was interested
Conan
in like
said, then
the
blow it up.
Epilogue to this book.
Uh-huh.
You remember where Jerry Seinfeld, you could also almost picture him, hear him in your head saying this, but he's talking to Johnny Carson after the Tonight Show, whatever, they had the transition or whatever. And he's like, these guys, there is no more Tonight Show. Is that
right.
a good Seinfeld?
But that was no, like, it's terrible.
It's Fallon. It's Jimmy. Tonight Show
right.
is over. Who cares about getting the Tonight Show?
Right. No, that was kind of one of the main takeaways of the book was that Conan seemed to have a very strong sort of respect for the institution of the Tonight Show in a way that some people didn't quite understand, or that may have been I don't want to say downfall, but that may have precipitated a lot of what happened because he was so stubborn about
were you saying that you listened to the Kim Gordon book?
So I listened to the Kim Gordon book, Girl in a Band.
Uh-huh.
And so Kim Gordon is the, she's in Sonic Youth and whatever. And it was like fine and kind of interesting. But then like, I think there's something with rock stars where like, it's so anytime you get too close to them and you realize that they're human beings and they're into the same things that you are, it's either very interesting and kind of uplifting or it's disappointing. So and to me this was the disappointing version. I don't mean to say that the book was disappointing. What I mean more is that like the experience of hearing it left me feeling like, oh man, like
you want Kim Gordon to like transcend earthly stuff.
Yeah, want her to be as like cool and carefree as possible, and just like the frequency with which she like name dropped Marc Jacobs and stuff left me a little bit going like, oh, she does care. Like, you want her to be the person who was fashionable because she doesn't care about fashion.
Right.
But it acts like...
She likes Marc Jacobs and thinks that's cool.
She, like, thought it was cool and she's, you know, started clothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't... I was certainly interesting, okay. But I don't know.
I hear you. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You want rock stars to be like... It's as close as you can come to just blasting off out of humanity.
Yeah.
You don't want them to be attached to the same stuff we are.
Now, I listened also to The Psychopath Test by John Ronson.
Oh, okay, cool.
Now, like Girl in a Band, the book was read by the author.
Yes.
And he's a British man.
Yes.
And I thought that this was a good case of the author being able to give inflection where it actually helped the reading of the book.
Love that.
Because you could hear his skepticism about certain things, and you could hear also... just tonal things. Like he felt like he was being seduced by the world of psychopaths, or he like, you could hear when he was being sarcastic, you could hear when he was being genuine. And I mean, in conversations with other people, I'd give that a recommendation.
Do you know the actor Will Patton? You know, can you picture Will Patton?
Will Patton?
Yeah. He was in Armageddon.
You love to enunciate your T's in words like Patton.
Well, Patton.
Yeah.
Will Patton.
Yeah. But you said Will Patton.
Okay.
You hear the difference, right?
I do. I don't know why I'm doing it. I'm sure I have some reason where it's like there was a miscommunication when I was like 6 years old or something.
Interesting. Okay. Will Patton. What about him?
Yeah, Will Patton. He was in Armageddon. He's a spectacularly great audiobook reader.
Oh, interesting.
And he, one of the greatest audiobook things I've ever listened to, and it's really good because it's pretty short, and it's short stories, so it's broken up into chunks.
Yeah.
He read Jesus's Son by Dennis Johnson.
Oh.
Fascinating, amazing, beautiful, hilarious, engaging book. And he also read Tree of Smoke, which is like a 600-page novel by Dennis Johnson. He's doing the voices of
Did you listen
people.
To both of them on...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so here's something we talked about, which is maybe interesting.
Yeah.
You listen... What speed do you listen to books on?
Regular 1.0 speed.
That is crazy. If you, I will only listen to a book on the iTunes 2X speed.
2X.
Which I don't think that's actually twice as fast. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like 1.7 because I've looked at the time elapse and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that once you start listening at that speed, you can't go back to if you listen at that and then you listen to someone at regular speed, it sounds like they're a drunken idiot. And you're like, just talk already. It's maddening.
Do you find regular conversation, people sound like they're drunken idiots?
No, because you're experiencing, there's other things to engage you in real time when you're talking to someone. Well, sometimes if people talk slowly, it bothers me.
I've got to say, another audiobook recommendation.
That's what we're doing, apparently.
Rob Lowe's autobiography is read by Rob Lowe.
I mean, that's great.
What a treat.
Rob Lowe, friend of the show, arguably, worked with him on Parks, great dude.
Of the show, Parks and Rec.
A friend of the show, Parks and Rec.
I'd love for him to be on Great Debates. He actually seems like he has extremely strong opinions. You know?
Yeah, he does. He's a smart dude, and he's like well-read and very engaged in politics and stuff. But he gives you what you want out of a Hollywood book.
Yes, he does, and he does impressions of everybody.
Great. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so that's another one. So just as another example, another audiobook that I found, because that's an interesting topic, which is what are books that are better as audiobooks than regular books?
Okay.
So I listened to Born Standing Up, the Steve Martin
audiobook. Oh, great.
And it was great because there's parts where he sings and you get a little sense of his stage persona.
Yeah. And his mood at the time as he's describing these things come through. That's a great, great audiobook. Agreed. You know what I like is 1491, New Revelations on America Before Columbus.
That sounds so boring.
It's one of the greatest. I promise you it's not boring. It's every page of it is fantastically interesting. It's just about what was going on in North and South America before Columbus got here. It was insanely richer, more complicated. There were cities. There were widespread networks of trade. There was wild effects going on in the environment. It's fascinating. And the guy who reads it is so cool. He has such a charmingly friendly way of reading. I was like, it's not read by the author, but I was like, this is what I believe the author to be like. This kind of guy is just telling you this interesting stuff he discovered in this way. Is like, I think you'll, kind of the way you talk a little bit, this is interesting, that kind of thing.
I have an idea for an audiobook company. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's called Learn Something, but also you get a little dirty talk. That's what the company is called. And the way it works is it's so that you stay interested in what could be a boring topic. At the end of, like, say, every page, so to speak, it's a female reader, and she's reading a book like... she's reading like the People's History of the Supreme Court or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And you're like, well, this is a little dry, but I want to learn about it. So she'll be like, and it was in 1964 and Thurgood Marshall was named. He became the first African American, nominated for the Supreme Court. And then she says like, and I'm wearing black lace panties. And if you keep listening, maybe I'll take them off. The Warren Court. The Warren Court was established, and then she like keeps going.
Don't you think that any truly great historian or nonfiction writer basically manages to do that where every three pages or something, like, the Warren Court, and the late Earl Warren, who was known to enjoy a whiskey and an evening in away with his mistress. Not that I don't think Earl Warren had a mistress.
Right. But this is a way to take advantage of the format of the audiobook where a sexy lady's voice. It's only for men and lesbians.
Oh.
Actually, that's not true. If straight women are engaged by it, then that's fine too. But basically, it's like if you keep listening, you get a little more. And every three pages, she she gets a little dirtier. I think I've made you uncomfortable.
You've just made me sad because it's like drizzling chocolate sauce on broccoli or something. There's a more elegant way to do that, you know?
That was a great metaphor. You're absolutely right.
It's like just you're not going to like it together.
Right, right.
Right?
But don't you find sometimes...
No, you remember when Rachel Ray was in Maxim magazine? You remember Rachel Ray? She was the cook person?
Yeah.
And they did a photo shoot in Maxim magazine where she was like kind of sexy. Yeah. Like she was wearing an apron and she had some brownies and stuff. And it was not cool. It was just discomforting. You're like, don't mix these things. That's not what I'm signing up for. Rachel
chocolate
Ray for.
And broccoli.
Exactly,
situation.
It was a chocolate and broccoli.
No, all right, that's a good point.
Well, I think this was a cool little bonus.
I feel like I blew it at the end, and I upset you with.
No. I was totally interesting. I don't think that you yourself would like that.
No, I know. I was just trying to be silly. Yeah. I'm always just trying to make you laugh, man. I'm just looking for your approval. It's all I'm here for,
buddy. You got it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you.